And you mentioned MAGA and President Trump, mm-hmm. and much love here in Southwest for, you know, for 45, as we say. But, you know, let's talk about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, how badly they have been tread upon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can a lot of people date that back to 2018 and what really was the first major stolen election with the hoax, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Great Russia hoax. You know, obviously, you know, that was basically stolen in the court of public opinion, but there were some shenanigans in that vote.
For sure.
And then, of course, we're all intimately familiar with what happened in 2020. And it's, you know, it's a time of great concern for us. You mentioned your work on the Judiciary Committee with Jim Jordan, you know, near and dear to our heart down here, not just because of his work, you know, on judiciary and asking the questions that must be asked, that need to be asked, you know, on behalf of the American people, but then also, you know, he's a friend of the health freedom movement,
mm-hmm.
and we deeply appreciate that and you know, your work there as well. But in, you know, when we sit there and we look at that, how badly the judiciary is broken, you know, what, you know, with fresh eyes and just coming in on that committee, you know, what do you think is the prescription?
So one of the things that Jim has come up with and we've kind of been working on is we think that the leverage we have in the House is the funds. It's the money, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we have oversight. We're doing a good job. I think next week you'll probably see us vote on an inquiry for impeachment of President Biden. But I think that not only do we have the oversight opportunity, but we have the strings with the money because it's our job to appropriate funds. And one of the things I think that we've come up with is to move these government agencies out of Washington, D.C. Just recently, the FBI asked the Appropriations Committee for $350 million for a new building. And now this is the same FBI that offered Christopher Steele $1 million for the dossier verification on the Russian collusion with Trump, and the same FBI that paid Twitter $3 million to quieten the Hunter Biden laptop story. And they came to the appropriators and said, we want $350 million for a new building. Jordan and I are like, we don't need to give them a dime, not ever here in D.C., but we want to move those agencies out of Washington, D.C. We would love to see the FBI headquarters go where they've got a pretty good footprint in Huntsville and hire everyday Americans.
South Dakota. No. Oh,
yeah, anyway, any of these agencies, because 90% of the federal bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. give to Democrats. So
right.
90% of our employees in D.C. give to Democrats.
Oh, it's
if
a
you
racket.
Don't think that system ain't broken, my friend.
Yeah.
And then they control the process, and then we pay them more salary. And then they give more money to Democrats who then get reelected, who give them more money for salaries, and then they grow these bureaucracies and these agencies. And my job, my number one job, is to protect your liberty and freedom. And that cancer in Washington, D.C. is to drain the life out of this country. That's what it's going to do if we do not cut it out now.
Mm-hmm.
And so our thoughts are, let's start moving these agencies to rural Americas, to the FBIs and the IRSs. I'd just do away with the IRS and do with the straight consumption tax that Barry Moore had his just
here,
wish
here.
List.
Yeah.
That's what I would do
Absolutely.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Because Matt Taibbi, we had him in Judiciary Committee, and we were actually questioning him. He was the one that was, you know, doing the Twitter thread, mm-hmm. the feed mm-hmm. for just getting all that out to the media. Taibbi's testifying to us in Judiciary, and the IRS goes and knocks on his own personal residence door and says, oh, we're here from the IRS. We're here to visit you.
Right.
Well, come to find out, they owed Taibbi money. Now, you tell me one time in the history of the country the IRS has ever come to a citizen and said, oh, we owe you money. Here's your money. That's never happened in the history of the country. But this one guy who happens to be testifying in Judiciary, the IRS pays him a visit that day.
Right.
Those are the kind of bureaucrats that are treasonous. In my opinion, they are to be, we are to cut it out the funding, we are to do away with those agencies because the American people live in fear of their government right
mm-hmm.
now. You know, Jefferson said this. He said, as long as the people fear the government, there will be tyranny, but if the government fears the people, there will be liberty. He didn't say in that order. He said in the other order, but that is the process. We've got to get the fear of the people back in the government instead of the other way around, where people fear their government. The government needs to fear us. We need to be the people who are holding them accountable. And believe me, brother, they don't think they work for us. They think they own us.
That's right.
We're their subjects, and we've got to put an end to it.
Yep.
I don't know if that even answered your question, but I just got off on a tangent of what they did to Taibbi. It's crazy.
Well, I mean, that's straight-up brass-knuckle intimidation.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I was stationed in Northern Virginia in D.C. area, you know, some years ago, and I remember being in downtown D.C., and it was a weeknight, about this time of year, as we were going to a Christmas party, and all of a sudden, there was a mass of people marching down the street, very loud, very noisy. And we were like, huh. And so we, you know, kind of stepped back and we were kind of watching them, and they started marching by, and it was a union protest. And I was like, what, is this the steel workers? I mean, we're in Washington, D.C., you know, on a weekday evening, it was the federal union.
Wow.
The federal union employees were out marching in Washington, D.C. against our government.
The government.
Yeah. I mean, it was surreal.
Rush Limbaugh said this a long time ago, governments not to be able to unionize their employees. Right. And he was right about that. We should never have a union that's part of the government. That's the fact that the employees that work for the federal government would unionize is astonishing to me, and Rush was right. We should never do that. That should not even be a thing.
Yes, it was. It's one of those moments in your life where things become mo clear.
You're like, wow, that is crazy right there.
Yeah, absolutely. So back to your vision, okay? You know, strong supporter of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, obviously part of the Freedom Caucus. But, you know, talk to us a little bit about your vision and where we are going with separation of, you know, like reeling back some of this federal overreach that we've been speaking about, right? But the 10th Amendment. Let's talk about the 10th Amendment, folks, okay, and state powers. You know, in this new conservatism that certainly is grounded in MAGA, okay, and has been building, and the Freedom Caucus continues to build numbers, and that's welcome.
Sure.
Where do you see the 10th Amendment helping Alabama?
So, states, we have to, and it's, when I was in the state legislature, I think it's so very important, even in states' rights conventions, I think we have to look at states standing and taking that power back, because all those that are not enumerated to the states, it's like the federal government, I mean, to the federal government is left for the states. It seems like this bureaucracy, this cancer we talk about, just continues to seize power and more money and more control, and they limit our liberty time and time again.
Yeah,
and
so, Leviathan.
Yeah, it's, and it, to me, and there is no, you don't, you kill giants, right? Mm-hmm. When David went to battle against Goliath, I mean, he didn't just, you kill him, you have to take him out. And to me, I see this bureaucracy in D.C. in a lot of ways, it's just, it is going to continue to expand and to oppress the American people. And so the states need to stand up. And I think Ron DeSantis, to his credit in Florida, has done a good job. I think that's why a lot of people are moving to Florida. I think that's why a lot of people went to Florida, because he stayed open for the most part. And look, I'm a Trump guy all the way, and I was the first in the nation to endorse Donald Trump. But DeSantis came to popularity because of the way he managed COVID and pushed back. Well, we got a lot of red states around this country that have red governors, and they're just not standing for what is right. They're not looking at the federal government saying, take a hike, you don't have that right. And so I think to his credit, and to Kristi Noem, I think she's done a good job. And there's some governors that have done some good jobs, but these red state governors need to start really remembering what a Republican or what a conservative or what a libertarian looks like, and start representing those people instead of just being afraid to speak up and stand out, you know? And so, but yeah, there, to me, when you ask me what my vision is at a point in time where the federal government's so small, it's not worth corrupting.
I like that.
I do too.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with your host, Deke Cox, and our guest, Congressman Barry Moore, here on WABF.
So let's move now to redistricting. You know, you had mentioned that we're the new District 1 is moving from 75th most conservative to
6th most conservative. Sixth. Wow. Yeah.
And in an area that's going to run from, you know, the border with Georgia.
We say from Dothan to Dolphin Island.
That's right. There you go.
From Georgia to Mississippi. Anyway, only right across the south here, brother.
That's right. So one of the things that I found impressive as I was, you know, doing running background on you know, prepping for the interview, is, you know, the number of constituent offices that you have in your mobile office hours, right?
You
alluded to it earlier in the discussion. And, you know, and then you look at the scale of what you're going to have to scale up to, you know, to service, fully service Baldwin and Mobile. What, you know, what would you change, you know, to improve services to Baldwin and Mobile?
So one thing, Baldwin's huge, right? So I think there needs to be two congressional offices. We have a set budget that we work on, but mm-hmm. we have managed our resources very well. And I put more offices in the current 16 counties than any congressman in recent history, because I knew that our people were so very important, our constituents. And Heather and I always said we wouldn't run for the job ever. We would just do the job, and then mm-hmm. if they choose to rehire us, that's the way we approach it. So I think in Baldwin County, you need an office in the north and the south, and so that's something we've talked about, certainly. You'll want to put one in Mobile, and then just right across the south. I mean, we've got one in Andalusia right now. We've got one in Dothan, so we'll have to look at that. But I think that and then couple that with our mobile office hours. Deke, I don't know, but in 32 months, I don't know that another congressional office, we've solved 4,000 cases for veterans and IRS and passport issues, gotten $10 million back for veterans. It's money that the government owed these people who have worked. And so mm-hmm. for us, it's like, that's our job, is to serve the people. And if we forget that, let's just go to the house and go fishing. But really for us, it's, we're gonna try to make sure we place the offices and then do the mobile office hours. And I have hired people with servants' hearts. And so for me, that is the job we do. And you know, I'm honored to do this job. I don't want to do it. Believe me, I would rather go run my company, but I am honored to do it. The people choose us to do it, and we're going to serve in that humble, that servant's heart capacity. And that's not just a word of, you know, that's not just something that the politicians, well, they do say it a lot, but we really, really do see ourselves as public servants.
Mm-hmm. 1819 News ran a good article quoting you on your pro-life stance. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, you know, Roe v. Wade was overturned, and there are people in this country who would, you know, they would say, oh, you know, the Republicans are too pro-life, or they're, you know, that's hurting us in elections, and, you know, it can hurt you with your constituents. And my response was, I'm more concerned about the creator of the universe on that issue than I'm my constituents, because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, that he will, the nation who loves life and represents life and protects life, God will bless that nation. And so to me, there is a higher power at play there than constituencies. And if I had to be a pro-abortion guy to be elected, I just would never get elected. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to me, I mean, we just have to look at the fight too, right? I mean, the number one issue right now, I mean, we're talking about the border. We're talking about the economy. You and I are talking about inflation. Mm-hmm. If the Democrats want to fight on killing babies, then let that be their issue. Let's run on the border. Mm-hmm. Let's run on inflation. Let's run on what American energy could do for our country and our economy. And let them, if they want to fight us over killing babies, then the heaven help them. But for me, it's like the creator of the universe has called us into this fight. We feel like we're here for such a time. And I'm not, there are preferences you and I can adjust on, but mm-hmm. on convictions, never.
Thank you for that answer.
Thank you.
Appreciate the honesty. So, November 16th, a young lady by the name of Adele Crowell, 20 years old, from Mobile, 2021 graduate of St. Paul's School, standout, top of her class, got an offer to go to the new school in New York City. November 16th, she was on the phone with her boyfriend and stopped talking.
Mm.
And when he could not raise her, after some time, he called her roommate, and she went in, you know, to check on her. She had passed. On the phone, talking to her boyfriend, a perfectly healthy 20-year-old.
Mm.
Now, especially in that period of 2021, 2022, vaccine mandates in New York were the rule. And you couldn't even step outside your house without having had the COVID vaccine. So we talked about Jim Jordan, and he's a friend of the health freedom movement. You know, we talk about, you know, the pro-life movement. I see the pro-life movement growing in the coming years as we look at sudden unexplained deaths now running at 40 to 50% in the under 45s. You know, all those people that suffered under the mandates, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I lost my job. I lost sure. my job in my career track because I would not vaccinate. And, you know, and so it's interesting because people don't want to talk about it.
Mm.
You know, they're ashamed, you know, and they'll make up, an excuse. You know, going back to July 15th, I was getting ready to go to the National Jamboree, the Scout Jamboree up in West Virginia. And I look out my window you know, as we're packing the truck and getting ready to go, I look out my window, and the place is swarming, the next street over is swarming with search and rescue and fire department, you know, right here in Fairhope. And we're like, what in the world is going on? Well, you know, you figure, you know, there's an emergency, and I went on about my business, and a couple days later, I get the article that a young 22-year-old girl, social media influencer, Annabelle Hamm, had just fallen in Mobile Bay and drowned, and they found her a couple hours later down by Fairhope Pier. And her family said that it was just, epilepsy, and that she had been, you know, an advocate, you know, for epilepsy for years. But yet when we began peeling that onion, we found no evidence of that. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about pro-life, you know, I feel that we're in a very critical point in this nation and worldwide, after we see 230 million Americans vaccinated, you know, with what clearly now is a deleterious, harmful vaccine that is killing people, you know, especially a lot of young people.
Sure.
Injuring them. You know, if you figure, you know, there was an article, research paper, highly reputable researcher by the name of Denny Rancour, a professor up in Canada. He has a fantastic, you know, research group. And they just published a paper they've been publishing on excess deaths for 3 years, ever since the shots came out. And they looked at COVID and declared that it was a scam early on. They were one of the very first ones said it's a scam, this is not real, you know. And you know, and some of the key things that they found was that the virus wasn't crossing state or national boundaries. Who would have thought? You know, you look at what some countries' numbers were versus, you know, the U.S. and Canada and even within states and provinces, and the numbers just didn't add up. And so, you know, when we look at excess deaths surging, you know, at 40 to 45%, you know, these are, you know, in statistical terms, these are like 13 sigma events, right? Like it would be a planet coming from another solar system and running into the planet Earth, right? It just sure doesn't happen. And then, you know, when we look at other things like Professor Rancour, in his paper back in October, 17 million. We're surging past 17 million excess deaths worldwide post-vaccination. It just shreds the safe and effective narrative. And so these people are going to need relief. But more importantly, when we look ahead, you know, birth rates are falling, mm-hmm, post-vaccine.
That's right.
They're falling by 15 to 20%. It's very clear that demographically, you know, the problem at the border and a lot of the immigrants coming in, you know, they're masking, you know, what may very well be one of the most consequential demographic shifts that we've seen ever.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, when we talk about pro-life, I think that, you know, it's going to be pro-life on steroids here pretty soon, because, you know, we're going to have to really sit back and take a hard look at what has been done to the American people and people worldwide. So, you know, when it comes to the judiciary, what hope do you have that we will ever see justice visited upon Anthony Fauci and Rochelle Walensky and these other absolute crooks that foisted these frauds on America?
So I know that like Marjorie Taylor's a good friend of mine, and we've been bringing a number of pieces of legislation again, and I think Fauci needs to come back and testify. I mean, there is no doubt in my mind that he is responsible for millions upon millions of deaths. You know, I just think from pushing the vaccine and any of those people who were part of that. I mean, I had a son-in-law who was an Army Ranger. He was vaccine injured, you know, military gave him the shot, and it was like, and it was just so, to me, when you see what it's done to the young male population.
And that was recent?
Yes, yes. Oh, he was an Army Ranger, 26 years old, incredible runner. The guy was in great shape. And so, he had to, when he got the shot, it hurt him bad. He took him some time to get back on his feet. And we found some alternative treatments and connected with some people like the doctors, and Heather did it primarily, but just to help him get back on his feet. And he's starting to get his wind back. But, I mean, this has been a couple of years ago. And
wow.
So, but, I mean, Army Ranger, airborne runner. I mean, guy was in great shape, and he was
the healthiest of the healthy.
Yeah, and what we found when we figured we visited with Dr. Jordan Vaughn and some of those guys, those young males, that protein or the vaccine itself, it looks for fat, right? And if you're young and lean, when it hits you in the shoulder, man, there's nothing but muscle there. It goes into your bloodstream, and then it starts just forming these daggum fibrous clots.
Clots, yeah.
And so it attaches in the bloodstream because you're so muscular. And certainly the reproductive issues in young females, it's a concern. And Marjorie had a panel a few weeks ago where we brought in some of the best doctors, and I sat in on that with her. And it was just, you know, it's astonishing to me, like you said, that this thing has been masked the way it has. And but, you know, I think the good thing for us is American people are going, these vaccines may not be just what they're being sold to the American people to be, because we're told if you get vaccinated, you won't get it. And then, oh, you can't transmit it. And, oh, by the way, you can't catch it. And then all of a sudden, all of those were lies. I mean, it was just one lie after another after another. And so and my brother, he tells a story. He's a retired Marine, and I don't know if I can tell this, but I will anyway. He's Southwest captain now. And so when Southwest started pushing the vaccine on those guys, the pilots just started calling in with the blue flu. And the CEO of Southwest was like, you know, the federal government does so much work with us, we've got to comply. But all of a sudden, when there were no pilots and everybody was calling with the blue flu, he's like, oh, never mind, y'all come on back to work. I mean, sometimes it's not what us in Congress can do, but it's what the American people can do, like the Southwest pilots, those people who say, enough is enough. Mm-hmm. We're not doing this, because I'm just one voice, one vote out of 435. But if you got a group of people who say, we're not doing this any longer, that sends a much more powerful message than one hearing on the Hill. And listen, Fauci needs to be held accountable. There are so many people that we know lied to the American people and padded their pockets in the process. And there has to be a point that we hold them accountable. The hope that I have is that as we continue with the Chairman Jordans of the world and those guys who really, really are in the fight for the right reason, that we'll continue to pull the veil back. We're just, I mean, you know how they slow walk all that stuff. We're just now starting, honestly, to see, I mean, the Hunter Biden laptop, the money that went through Burisma, that stuff. We're just now doing the impeachment inquiry about that. So we are the party and the rule of law, the party of law and rule of law. So we move a little slower. We try not to make it political. But the day of justice should be coming. Those wheels turn a little slower than I like sometimes, but I think you'll see it.
Thank you. So if Anthony Fauci can lie to Senator Rand in a Senate hearing, what hope do the American people, what hope do Alabamians have that, you know, Chairman Jordan and the good Barry Moore will be able to, you know, visit justice upon him?
Well, I think you have to make sure anytime you, and Jim will tell you this, is that when you bring these witnesses in, you put them under oath. Because once we know that they lied under oath, we have some teeth, right? And we have some opportunities. But the problem is a lot of times, like Hillary and those, when they bring them in, they didn't put them under oath. And so we've got to make sure what the Democrats did, we don't make those same mistakes. Mm-hmm. So we get them on record under oath. And and again, purse strings. I mean, Fauci's already rode off into the wild blue yonder in retirement.
With Secret Service protection.
Yeah. And we need to repeal that, Mike. Well, he may need Secret Service protection, though, right now, because I'm telling you, I don't know that there's a guy on planet Earth that's probably in graver danger than him, you know.
But not from the white supremacists, as he has alleged.
It's all those people that he lied to and crippled their families and killed their relatives. You know, that's the ones. So, honestly, Fauci, other than Donald Trump, is probably the guy that's in the most danger. I think they certainly would love to take Trump out, but Fauci has to be one of those guys that's on the short list of, like, the most hated American ever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, my personal list of lost are 24 now, including two former bosses.
Mm.
You know, that it's so very clear that they, you know, that they were killed by the vax.
Sure.
And so, you know, you look at it, and you know, I have, you know, found families that have lost. There was a family in Italy early on. This was early in, you know, summer of 21, September 1st of 21. Vittoria Campo died, and then 2 months later, to the day, her brother died, and both of them were vaccinated, and the only two children that the family had. You know, right here, you know, next door in Mississippi, we had a young, shining star of a young football player, a sophomore, junior in high school, had already had offers from Mississippi State. He and his mother both dead within 10 days of each other. You know, and the list just goes on and on and on. It is a horror show. And so, you know, I appreciate your candor on that. You know, it's refreshing, and you know, I thank you for it. You know, it's so desperately needed. You know, we've been in prayer about it, and it just, you know, we wonder when justice will come. So,
and that's the thing. Prayer is so very important for us to just have the courage, but also the wisdom, because the system is going to protect itself. The media is going to protect these narratives. They're going to, we have to understand from elected position in Congress, how do we go through there? How do we pierce those veils? How do we get those people? And how do we hold them accountable when everybody's fighting against us? And that's the thing we're up against.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So you have offered to debate Congressman Jerry Carl. How has that discussion progressed?
So my team has been handling it primary, but you know, I'm happy to do it, and I think that you just run on your record. I'm never going to go negative, and everybody mm-hmm. tell you Jerry's a nice guy. I'm a nice guy. My wife says we're two of the nicest guys that you'll meet. But honestly, I'm happy to debate on the record, and I think that's the thing. I've made it clear from the get go. I'm happy to talk about my record, and so and I've told them the Baldwin County clubs and whoever that wants to host this. If Jerry doesn't show up, that's okay. I will come and sit for an hour and take questions, or an hour and a half, because I want to talk to the people. I want them to know who we are, and I want them to know that I don't have all the answers, but I'm sure I'm interested in what concerns them and what we can do to help them. And so, look, I'll sit there for an hour. I've done it before when people didn't show up to debate me and say, let's just answer questions. Let's talk. And so we got number one in the nation for accessibility, and we're going to continue to be accessible. Whether anybody shows up for a debate or not, we will.
Excellent. So if that debate were to happen, has there been a proposed date or time frame?
Yeah,
that?
I think there's a couple dates tossed out there. January
22nd, 23rd, 24th, or 25th. That whole entire week has been offered to the Carl.
We have to do it between sessions, so January 22nd mm-hmm. through the 26th or 25th. Okay.
It's been offered.
Yeah. We've offered.
Right. Well, if you could please keep us apprised,
sure.
And we'll make sure that all those out in radio land, you know,
you're not going to be there asking the hard questions, are you?
You know, I would love. You know, if you need a host,
those are good questions. You got some good questions, my friend. But we're happy to do it. And like I said, I'm going to sit for an hour, whether anybody shows up or not, and answer questions.
Yeah. Well, Jeff Poor probably has the edge on me.
Yeah, he may. I don't know. I don't know who they got on the list.
So, in our closing minutes here. Two things. One, if you could please let us know about your immediate upcoming events. We know that you're, because of your congressional schedule, that you're in Baldwin increasingly on the weekends.
Yes.
To campaign. So upcoming events in the next week or two where constituents can come out and meet.
Yeah, please follow us on Facebook. We got Barrymore Republican for Congress. We've got a number of accounts, but you can go on there and we'll have the events posted. But also Heather, my wife, and I tell everybody, you get two for the price of one with us. And she works free for the taxpayer, but it'll cost me more than you ever know. She gives the tours in D.C. to people when they even from our district, and Heather, they'll show up and she'll be like, I'll take you. She's got great capital tours. Liz Truss, former Prime Minister of Britain, came mm-hmm. and one of Heather Moore's tours, and she gave her one. And so, you know, Heather will be here. I'll be here. Y'all get to know who we are. And just go on those social medias and keep up with those things, because I don't even know. They tell me where I'm going to be, and I'm like, oh, you got this, you got it. So, but go on, and you'll find out when I do where I'm going to be. But, yeah, we do it U.S. as a Republican for Congress. Barrymore Republican for Congress is how it's posted on Facebook.
Right. Okay. Finally, share with our listeners, please, the anecdote about Donald Trump
and Jim Jordan.
Well, you know, when he got indicted.
Yeah,
Georgia,
okay, yeah.
Right?
So, yeah, yeah. Good story. So, Jim is telling this, and it's remarkable because it was Donald Trump had been arrested in Georgia, and they got the mugshot, right? And so, and Jim was like, man, I you know, I'm friends with the president, and I really want to call him, but I know it's been a horrible day for him. And says, I just don't want to bug him, but I want him to know I care. So Jim was thinking, I'll wait till late tonight, and I'll call President Trump and say, I'll just leave him a voicemail, you know? And he said, he calls the phone ring once, and he goes, Jim, isn't that the greatest mugshot in the history of mugshots? And that shows you the kind of mindset that guy. He is so, like, New York tough, and he's willing to fight, but you've got to have somebody like that right now, mm-hmm. because I'm telling you guys, anybody else, they will destroy him personally, financially, and politically. Trump's the one of few guys that can afford the defense attorneys right now, and who's tough enough to stay in the fight and loves the country. If he's willing to take lead, we better stand behind him.
I love that anecdote. Picked up on the first ring.
Yes, first ring. Jim, isn't that the greatest mugshot of his? That's the kind of guy he is. That's who we need.
That's right. Too funny. Congressman Barrymore, thank you so much for joining us here on Conservative Watchdog Weekly. It's been our honor and privilege to have you and Heather here today, and we look forward to, you know, future engagements with you. And let us hear from you.
Thank you. We sure will. Keep us in your prayers.
Thank
Appreciate
you very
you so
much.
Much. Right. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much. Lori?